Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. Text number 22. We're just going to read 22. Tasyai namostu kashtayai. Yatratma hari ishvaraha. Yadgatva na nivartante. Shantak sanyasino mala. Iti te samyatatmana samadhi samahita diyo mala. Upatashtor harishikesham. Vinidra vayu bojana. Tasyai. Unto that. Namaha. Our respectful obeisances. Astu, let there be. Kashtayai, direction. Yatra, wherein. Atma, the super soul. Hari, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Controller. Yat, which. Yadva, approaching. Na, never. Ivartante, return. Santa, peaceful. Sanyasina, saintly persons in the renounced order of life. Amala, pure. Translation purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Let us offer respectful obeisances unto that direction where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated, where those purified souls in the renounced order of life, the great saintly persons, go, and from which, having gone, they never return. Without sleep, fully controlling their minds, and living only on their breath, the predominating deities of the various planets began worshipping Rishikesh with this meditation. Purport. The two words tasyai, kastayai are very significant. Everywhere in every direction, in every heart and in every atom, the Supreme Personality of God is situated in His features as Brahman and Paramatma. Then what is the purpose of saying tasyai, kastayai? In that direction where Hari is situated. During Hiranyakashipu's time, his influence was everywhere, but he could not force his influence into the places where the Supreme Personality of Godhead had his pastimes. For example, on this earth, there are such places as Vrindavan and Ayodhya, which are called Dhammas. In the Dhamma, there is no influence from Kali Yuga or any demon. If one takes shelter of such a dham, worship of the Lord becomes very easy, and resultant spiritual advancement quickly takes place. In fact, in India, one may still go to Vrindavan and similar places to achieve the results of spiritual activities quickly. Read the text again. Tasyai namostu kastayai yatratma harir ishvaraha yagyatvana nivartante shanta sanyasino mala. Let's offer our respectful obeisances unto that direction where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated, where those purified souls in renounced order of life, the great saintly persons go, and from which, having gone, they never return. Without sleep, fully controlling their minds, and living only their breath, the predominating deities of the various planets begin worshipping Rishikesh with this meditation. There are five powerful processes for spiritual advancement that, by performing one with concentration and devotion, that even a neophyte devotee can experience bhava or ecstasy. And one of them is to live in a holy place. Now, as we know, we can be in a holy place and not be in a holy place. Or we cannot be in a holy place and actually be in a holy place. Prabhupada once wrote to one Gurukul student, and he said, just like 1 + 1, the Gurukul student sent Prabhupada some math that he had done. And Prabhupada said, oh, this is very nice. He said, just like 1 + 1 = 2, so Krishna plus anywhere is equal to Vrindavan. So if you always remember Krishna, then you'll always be in Vrindavan. So what's the difference between being in Vrindavan and remembering Krishna? Is there any difference? Should we even bother going to Vrindavan? Because good luck if you want to go to Vrindavan now. Right now you probably have to walk there. You may not make it. In any case, what's the difference between physically being in Vrindavan and thinking about Vrindavan? Is there any difference? Well, actually, if one can always remember Vrindavan, then it's superior to actually physically being in Vrindavan. Not that being in Vrindavan physically isn't beneficial, but it's only as beneficial as we're actually, in factually, our minds are and our intelligence are in Vrindavan. If we don't think we're in Vrindavan, we think we're in some mundane Indian village, then better off not to be in Vrindavan, because then you'll never go to Vrindavan. If you're in Vrindavan and you think everything here is in relationship to Krishna, and you're always remembering Krishna in Vrindavan, seeing everything in relationship to Krishna's pastimes, his name, form, quality, and pastimes, then that's very auspicious. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, we go to Vrindavan for inspiration, but it's not good to spend too much time there, because one will become familiar. Even great devotees, they didn't go to Vrindavan. I don't know if, I forget, some of them were like Lord Nityananda. I don't think he ever went to Vrindavan. Did he go to Vrindavan? He did. But there are other devotees who were, stayed in Mayapur and never went to Vrindavan. That doesn't mean they were not in Vrindavan. They were always in Vrindavan. In actual Vrindavan. Because on in Vrindavan, in every holy place, there's a, as Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, there's a layer of illusion that's covering the Dham, that's protecting the Dham from the non-devotees. So when they go to Vrindavan, they think they're in Vrindavan, but actually they're simply floating on the covering of illusion that protects Vrindavan from the non-devotees. Therefore, their experience is of an Indian village rather than actually the spiritual world. Therefore, one has to cultivate the proper consciousness. If one actually wants to enter into the Dham, just like Gauranga Blite Habe Pulaka Sharir Harir Harir Nayane, what's the next word? What's that? Bhavanir. Gauranga Blite Habe Pulaka Sharir. When will I chant the name of Gauranga and there will be a shivering in the body? Now, we can chant Gauranga. I know, you know, go outside when it's cold and there'll be a shivering in the body and we think, well, I've reached the perfection. I'm chanting out here, it's freezing cold, and the more I chant, the more there's a shivering in my body. And Hari Hari Nayane Babe Nir. When will I chant the name of Hari and there'll be tears in my eyes? So you can get an onion and put it near your eyes when you're chanting, and there'll be plenty of tears coming from your eyes. You think, well, look at, put this on YouTube. Don't put the onion, just put the tears. Now, if you want both of them, you just go outside and it's cold, or go into a freezer with an onion, and people can think, wow, made so much advancement. His body shivering and the tears are coming from his eyes. He's chanting Hare Krishna. He must be a pure devotee. By remembering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only way we can actually remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like we can chant Hare Krishna, but that doesn't mean we're actually chanting Hare Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, Hare Krishna is not simply some letters of the alphabet. So if we're chanting Hare Krishna as if it's the letters of the alphabet, then we're actually not chanting Hare Krishna. We're chanting something that hopefully appears to be something like Hare Krishna, but not quite. Because Krishna and Krishna and his name are non-different. Krishna and his form is non-different. His qualities, his pastimes, his associates, they're all of the same spiritual nature. And unless we have the same spiritual nature, unless our body is in the fire of devotional service, and unless our minds, our intelligence are absorbed in devotional service, then we're chanting in the modes of nature. That doesn't mean we should become discouraged, we should stop chanting, but we should try to learn how to chant in such a way so we're actually chanting in the spiritual energy rather than the material energy. Just like we go to Vrindavan or Mayapur or any holy place, and our consciousness is in the material energy, then we're in the material energy. And if we go there in the spiritual consciousness, then we'll see the Dham is part of the spiritual world. Now if you go downtown Ljubljana and you chant Hare Krishna, you'll see that this is not the Dham, this is actually downtown Ljubljana. This is not where Krishna regularly has his pastimes. He doesn't come to have his rasa dance in Ljubljana. No, he has it in Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is just suitable. Just like he told Uddhava, right now it's Vasant, it's the spring. And I'm God. I'm Cupid's personified. The gopis are my dearest servants, full of loving devotion for me. This is the right time to have the rasa dance. He doesn't just grab any lady from the street and say, hey, do you want to dance? No, the right ladies, the right place, the right time. And then devotional ecstasy, devotional love increases exponentially. Similarly, the right place is Vrindavan. Perform devotional service. Because eternally Krishna has his pastimes there. And if one can actually enter into devotional mood, then one can actually get a experience of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, if one is actually quite advanced. But in any case, one can gradually get insight that this is part of the spiritual world. And the activities here are all part of Krishna's pastimes. And especially merciful is Navadvip, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eternally has his pastimes, because along with his pastimes are the pastimes of Vrindavan, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever he's always in Navadvip, and within him are always the pastimes of Krishna, Radha and Krishna are taking part, a place. So it's very auspicious to go to Vrindavan if we're in Krishna consciousness. But if we go there and we think it's material, then where are we going to go to be in Vrindavan? If you go downtown Ljubljana and you ask, how do I get to downtown Ljubljana? And they say, you're there. No, you don't understand. I'm looking for Ljubljana, downtown. No, you're there. I don't believe you. Here, give me a map. Yeah, I think it's 100 kilometers away. Then you'll never be in downtown Ljubljana because you don't believe you're there. You'll go somewhere else. Oh, finally I arrived here. Where is this place? It's Zagreb. No, it's Ljubljana. I can see it's right on my map. You're all wrong. I'm actually in Ljubljana. You think you're in Zagreb, but this is Ljubljana. So if one is convinced a reality which is actually illusory, and the reality one thinks is illusory, then one will never get to that place. And even if he arrives at that place, he won't know he's there. So if we go to Vrindavan, we think it's something mundane, then our life is spoiled completely. Because we'll never appreciate what actually is Vrindavan. We'll never believe that Krishna is God, or that he has a place, or this is Govardhan Hill. He'll think, oh, this couldn't be. Even if they call it Vrindavan, it's just part of the myth of Krishna as some cowherd boy, aborigine cowherd boy in some aborigine village in India in ancient history. And they're so foolish, they're actually worshipping this rock called the Govardhan Hill. These people are so lazy, they have nothing to do. They just walk around all day on this hill. Not only that, but some people are so lazy, they don't even want to walk. They just fall down on the ground. They won't even put 2 feet practically in front of each other. Just all day long, they're just falling flat on the ground, probably sleeping in between. Wake up, get up. So people will misunderstand if they have no appreciation for spiritual life. And outside, when they go outside, then there won't be any possibility of appreciating what's being said in the Bhagavatam, where the pinnacle is Vrindavan or other holy places. They'll just take it as completely myth and, oh, I was there, there was nothing there. On the other hand, there was one thief. He was attending a seminar, and he heard that in Vrindavan there was this boy called Krishna. And his dress is just full of jewels. He has a mother called Yasoda, and she decorates him every day with all these jewels. So the thief thought, yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm going to find that boy. I'm going to steal all his jewels, and I'll be rich. He had faith in the lecture, in the person who was speaking. So he went to Vrindavan. He was looking all around for Krishna. Where is this boy Krishna? Gopal, where are you? Come and... And so he had so much faith and determination that Krishna came before him. And the thief said, give me your jewels. And Gopal said, no, I can't. My mother will be angry. The thief said, no, no, you must give me your jewels. I want your jewels. I've come all the way here to get your jewels. Give me your jewels. And Krishna says, I'm sorry, my mother will be very angry. So there's a big argument going on. And finally the thief fell in love with Krishna. He said, no, no, you can keep the jewels. And Krishna said, no, no, you can take the jewels. It's all right. I have more jewels. You can just take the jewels. So he had such faith and such determination that Krishna personally came and revealed himself. And in Krishna's association, he developed love for Krishna. So faith is the most important thing. Without faith, then our life is... It's not possible to make any advancement. Asamshayam agyas chastradanas cha samshayatmana vinashati nanyam lokasthina paro nasukam samshayatmanaha. That those who doubt the revealed scriptures go to ruin and perish. For the doubting soul there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So we have no faith. We think it's all mythology. We think that it's all an exaggeration, whatever we may think. Then we have to go back to the starting point again. I'm not this body. The body's changing. I'm not changing. And if we can't capture that in our intelligence, that I'm eternal, and therefore right now I'm eternally illusion. I've limited Krishna to my little box of my minuscule intelligence, and I won't let him grow any more than that. Stay in the box, Krishna. You can't get out of here. You're in the box of my intelligence. I won't let you go. Dr. Frog philosophy. As we all know, Dr. Frog was living in the well, and he thought the whole universe is in my well. Nothing could be beyond my well. Here I am, Supreme Frog, the universe, and I'm in the supreme abode, my well. And one of his friends dropped by and said, I saw this enormous ocean. It was called the Pacific Ocean. So Dr. Frog thought, oh, this is very interesting. You know, maybe it's almost as big as my well. So he said, how big is it? Is it this big? No, it's much bigger and bigger. So, of course, Prabhupada said he kept on puffing himself up, trying to figure out how big the Atlantic Ocean was, until his friend said, no, it's much, much bigger than that. And finally the frog burst. So we have this, we want to limit Krishna by our minuscule, tiny intelligence, and we want to think this is reality. We want to limit the abode of Vrindavan to just Vrindavan. We want to limit so many things because we're limited. Because we won't give up our false ego that we're tiny, therefore we want to make everything else tinier than we are. So that's called enviousness. But if one can give up that enviousness, that false ego, and realize that I'm super tiny, shouldn't be proud of that either. I'm tiny, but small is beautiful. Infinitely small is infinitely beautiful. No, we should understand by our false ego that actually reality is so much greater, so much more wonderful than we can imagine, and we should pray to get rid of our misconceptions and become a little humble and submissive so that we can actually begin to hear and understand things properly. Then we may get a chance, Amadi Vama Dambit Vama Hinsa Shanti Arjava, that we, by a little humility, we might develop the qualities that are necessary for, of course it doesn't stop at humility, and Amadi Vama Dambit Vama, pridelessness, humility, Amadi Vama Dambit Vama Ahimsa, nonviolence, Shanti, peacefulness, forgiveness. There are so many qualities we have to develop, beginning with humility, so we become qualified to actually experience Krishna consciousness. Then we can actually enter into the, when will my mind become purified, that I can actually enter into Vrindavan. What is that? Gauranga Blite Habe Pulaka Sharir Hariya Hariya Nayane Bali Nayane Bali Babe Nira. So when will I chant the name of Gauranga? Shivering will be my body. Tears will be my eyes. When will my mind become purified? Vishara Charya. Where does that go? When will my mind become purified so I can actually enter into the land of Vrindavan? So in any case, whether we're here or actually physically in Vrindavan, we have to, by the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra and rendering service to Krishna, gradually purify our consciousness so that we can actually enter into the realm of spiritual experience and make our lives, as Prabhupada said, sublime and fruitful. Chanting Hare Krishna, and with faith and devotion, remember the pastimes of Krishna. See them externally in this world. This is all Krishna's pastimes, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, pastime of saving the conditioned soul, and remembering Krishna's pastimes in the internal energy in Vrindavan, killing the demons and dancing with the gopis, playing with the cowherd boys. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Our temples are also said to be holy places by Srila Prabhupada. He said holy places like New York, Los Angeles, Paris, and wherever else our Radha Krishna are installed. So to which extent does the holy place manifest in our temples?
To the extent that we're Krishna conscious. It's like you may have a television program going on, but you have to have a television set to pick it up. If the television set is broken, and for you the program is not going on. But if you have the right program, if you have the right television set and you tune in properly to the program, then you can actually experience what the program is. So the spiritual world is going on in the temple because Krishna is there with his associates. But we have to tune in. We have to purify our heart and become in harmony with Krishna. So one of the aspects of surrender. Have no interest except for Krishna's interest, and always feel oneself meek and humble. And to whatever extent, anukulasya sankalpe pratikulasya varjana, avshisya titi vishvaso gopriva varnam dita. So, atma nakshepa sankalpe shadvida sharanagati. So, whatever extent we're surrendered, to that extent we can experience what's going on.
So, can we extend this analogy to say that the temple is supposed to be like a TV repairsman shop, and people, where we have people with somewhat attuned TVs, and we help other people to attune their TVs?
Yes, but it's not only the temple. The temple is one place. We go out and chant Hare Krishna publicly, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also there. He comes with the Sankirtan party along with us, who are chanting the name of Gauranga and Hare Krishna. Then also there, anywhere we go. Yes, if we learn therefore we have to learn how to repair the television. Therefore we have classes. We don't only chant Hare Krishna, but we also learn the science of repair. So we can chant in such a way as that Krishna will repair our heart for us. This program is also simultaneously part of the repair process. Ultimately, Krishna is the most expert repairman. So is his devotees, like Srimati Radharani. They can repair our heart for us if we ask them. So basically speaking, we're just asking them, please engage me in your service. And then they'll do everything else. And as much as we sincerely ask them, they reciprocate. You say, please engage me in your service. Or as I said before, one priest was praying to Krishna, to God, my dear Lord, please make me a celibate. And he said, but not quite yet. So it depends how sincerely we're praying, chanting. So we're learning what is the art of becoming sincere. Anything else? Thank you very much. Kundarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.